Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream, whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch. You need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
How is your sock drawer looking? Maybe it's time for some spring cleaning. Well, Bombas just dropped soft new socks, tees, and underwear to help you get that drawer in a better place. And you know what? I just did it. Once you try Bombas, you are not going to look at socks the same way because they are obsessed over details. They have these anti-blister tabs and cushioned footbeds, so your feet feel great. It's like walking on little pillows. It's amazing. I love my Bombas. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head on over to bombas.com/bonkers. Use the code bonkers for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/bonkers. Use the code bonkers at checkout. Career defeats, pummel horses, and that's what I call music. All this and more on today's How Did This Get Made? Last Look.
This is the last look. But Paul's such a stand-up guy, he lets us all say goodbye to last week's film. See you later, gotta go. Cheerio, ta-ta for now, farewell.
Hello, all you kegelball ringing hunchbacks. I'm your host, Paul Scheer, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? Last Looks, where you, the listener, get to voice your issues on 50 Shades Darker. And as always, I will reveal next week's movie. And later in the show, June, that's right, June will be filling in for Jason on this week's very special Just Chat with our first time How Did This Get Made guest, Jake Johnson. That's right, you know Jake from New Girl, Jurassic World, and the Spider-Verse movies. Well, today he is here to talk about his brand new call-in advice podcast, We're Here to Help. But we're also going to chat about a whole lot more. So make sure you stick around. June actually had a great time doing Last Looks. So maybe Jason's got some competition. Anyway, first things first, a big shout out to Quinn for that amazing opening theme. We love our themes. We love you, Quinn. We would love to have more themes from Quinn, but not just from Quinn, from you as well. So if you have a theme, send it to howdidthisgetmade@earwolf.com. Keep them short. 15 to 20 seconds is best. And people, if you've not pre-ordered my book, Joyful Recollections of Trauma, what are you waiting for? Seriously, please do. Why? Because it helps me. But secondly, because I think you're going to love it. I got some great blurbs on the back. That's right. Amy Poehler, Patton Oswalt, Ed Brubaker, Jane Fonda, Phoebe Robinson, Jesse Klein. They like it. So I think you'll like it as well. And if you pre-order the book, you can sign up to get a special access to exclusive area on my website where I have photos and videos and a bunch of weird stuff. Plus, you can also register to get a postcard. I'm only doing 3,000. That was too much. Honestly, my hands hurt. But I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Over 1,500 are out in the mail right now. Anyway, our European tour is only 2 weeks away. We still have some tickets left. We've also just announced our films. You can go to hdtgm.com to find out more about that. But seriously, come out. See us. We can't wait to be in the UK, and we can't wait to be in Ireland. I'm looking forward to Belfast, because that is where Flanny, who runs Largo, is from. And he says Belfast have some of the best audiences. So prove him right. Just got back from South by Southwest, where How Did This Get Made won the Best TV and Film Podcast Award at the iHeartRadio Podcast Awards. It was a shock. Truly did not think that we were going to win. I was in the corner doing a bit with the Workaholyc guys when my name was called, and I was surprised. You know what? I got to tell you, we appreciate you, the audience, listening to the show. It makes such a big difference knowing that people are listening, because if we didn't have people listening, it would be a really sad show. It would just be a show of me in my closet talking to myself, which, honestly, I've done weirder things. The two people I didn't get to thank at that show, because it was such a surprise, I didn't have anything prepared, was Casey Holford and Rich Garcia, who are our amazing and talented editors. They do all the post-production work. I don't think I also thanked Avril Halley, who picks all of our movies. Here's who else I didn't thank. Jason and June. That's right. Didn't thank them as well. So you know what, people, in a moment where I was surprised, I totally blanked on a lot of people's names, but I want to thank iHeart right now, and I want to thank all of them as well, because they all make this podcast run. All right, let's get into it. Last week, we talked at length about 50 Shades Darker, a movie that Discord user Elaine Smith thinks could have been called Twilight Breaking Yawn. I love it, Elaine. You nailed it. You nailed it, Elaine. Anyway, we had questions about 50 Shades Darker, and we might have even missed a few things. Here is your chance to set us straight. Fact check us, if you will. It is now time for corrections and omissions.
Corrections and omissions.
What do we miss? What do we miss?
Corrections and omissions.
What do we miss? What do we miss?
Corrections and omissions.
What do we miss? What do we miss?
Thank you, John Cohen, for that awesome theme song. You are now officially part of the Coen Brothers, because it's spelt the same way. I don't see that Coen Brothers spelling that much. All right, so let's go to the Discord. Who Gives a Cluck writes, I can't believe that no one brought up that Anna accepted Christian's proposal with a light-up keychain that she had custom engraved to say yes in Comic Sans font. When I first watched this, I laughed so hard I had to get up and pace it out just to survive the moment. This kiosk has gift boxes and they do custom terrible engraving? Well, first of all, I thought we did talk about that, but more to the point, I believe that the keychain already said yes. Like, that was like an inspirational keychain. She didn't have it engraved. But I do agree, the gift boxes at a kiosk like that, I lived in New York City. You're lucky if they have a bag. They don't have a bag. I've never gotten a bag for them. Anyway, that was the most ridiculous thing in the film. And that's saying a lot. Now, look, I know it's not New York, it's Seattle, whatever. But I don't think Seattle kiosks have that either. Anyway, Rocket Wesker writes this. How the hell did Christian's former submissive Layla managed to break into his high-rise condo that the movie described as a fortress? Did Christian give her ninja training, sending her all over the world to spy on the enemies of the gray industry? I mean, also, after Anna witnessed how Christian lobotomized Layla so much that she could be subdued with a mere hand gesture, Anna's reaction was not one of horror, but rather mostly sad because she couldn't give him what Layla offered. You know, instead of seeing the love of her life as a monster, that is fucked up. Now, look, I don't know if the books go into it. And yes, you are 100% right. That is fucked up. I didn't even think about it, that he treated her like a dog and turned his hand. Although I felt like she was playing a game. I also feel like she was leading a full life, but then also went a little crazy. Anyway, I bet you Layla got in there because they recognized her as being someone who used to visit his apartment. I don't know if he gives his like security people like these submissives are no longer allowed here. You know, maybe he didn't email the people working the door. I don't know. Somebody clarify it. Connor Dowling writes, Jason already touched on the Jeff Buckley song, but has anyone else noticed that the characters seem to listen to decent music, whereas the soundtrack is mostly distracting, unsexy, generic pop? For example, when Christian is working out, he's listening to So Lonely by the Police, and in 50 Shades Freed, Anastasia is listening to David Bowie in the kitchen, and Christian plays Maybe I'm Amazed by Paul McCartney on the piano. But every other song choice sounds like the music from Love is Blind or Now That's What I Call Music 2017. Yeah, I don't know what that is. I mean, I know why they can't be on the soundtrack, because they can't afford it on the soundtrack. They could probably afford the needle drop in the movie, but then to actually put it on another album, that's tremendously expensive. So that's what I would imagine. I think they probably save money on the soundtrack. Also, I'm sure the people didn't want them. It's all cost. It's all a cost thing. Make your own soundtracks on Spotify. That's what I do. All right, let's go to the phones. Oh, we got an Anna.
Hi, Paul. Just wanted to give a little fun fact about 50 Shades Darker. Joel brought up how Anastasia's associate asks what she should call her after she's, like, promoted overnight to editor or whatever. Well, that whole bit of dialogue between the two of them is actually taken directly from the last scene of Mike Nichols' 1988 classic movie Working Girl, which stars Dakota Johnson's mother, Melanie Griffith. Nora Dunn asks her, like, what the rules are and what she should call her, and Melanie Griffith's like, you can just call me Tess, and you don't have to get me coffee unless you're getting some for yourself, and we'll figure out the rest from there. So, yeah, just like a cute little mother-daughter callback or whatever. That's all. Thanks.
Yes, we did miss this, Anna. Or did we call it out again? I don't remember what we cut out. But yes, I remember that, or I caught that later. But you know what? Also at the same time, it's not like I have the Working Girl script, and while I love Mike Nichols, on the tip of my head, it's not like, Luke, I'm your father. But anyway, Lizard Breath actually adds in, the scene in Working Girl illustrates how Melanie Griffith is different and will be a better boss than the ones that she had. In no way is Anastasia's situation similar. Therefore, this scene is pretty meaningless to the story, so much so that I audibly said, fuck you to 50 Shades for stealing a scene from a movie that I loved. Yes, that was the big twist, is that it doesn't mean anything. It's just callback, but it actually has worse implications in the way that they used it. So thank you, Lizard Breath. Thank you, Anna, for letting us talk about something that look, there are so many things. I mean, we couldn't barely touch upon them all. That's why we're here. Joanna from Philadelphia.
Hey, Paul. I got your postcard. Thanks very much. So I wanted to comment on 50 Shades Darker about the pommel horse exercise scene. So apparently, Jamie Dornan has a certain talent with a pommel horse, and the director asked him, is there something interesting you can do, I guess, gymnastically wise or exercise wise? And he said, well, this is like what I could do. So they wrote the pommel horse scene into the movie. But you'd like to know. Love your show. Bye.
Okay. Now this is interesting. Thank you, Joanna. See, he was a pommel horse expert, which, look, if you got the talented person, you got to figure out how to get it in there. You know what? I want to continue this pommel horse discussion because Meigs says, you know, a lifelong gymnast here. He 1,000% did not do a gymnastic skill on that pommel horse. Okay, Joanna, here we go. A little fighting back and forth. The planche that he does is not part of the official gymnastics code of points, even on the floor exercises where planches are common, and definitely not on the pommel horse, not knocking his or anyone's ability to showcase some strength. But why on earth would they include a piece of official gymnastics equipment if he's only going to do that? And you know what, Meigs? I think the answer is Gymkata 2 starring Jamie Dornan. Let's get that made. Anyway, so many great corrections and omissions this week, but there can only be one winner. And you know, honestly, I want to give that winner to somebody who deserves it and somebody we just talked about. That's right, Meigs, you are winning because you brought your Olympic knowledge, you brought your gymnast knowledge, and you know what? You get this amazing song from the Action Jackson 5. Hit it! Thank you, Action Jackson 5, for that song. Remember, if you want to submit an alt movie tagline or chime in with your own thoughts about the latest episode, hit us up at the Discord at discord.gg/HDTGM or call us at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's PAULASK. All right, coming up, Jake Johnson joins June and I for a chat. Plus, as always, we will reveal next week's movie. We'll be right back. Here's the thing, people. Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, but also on the stuff you don't. Let me explain. Did you know with your Walmart Plus membership, you can save money on gas? Yeah, save gas while you drive the kiddos to soccer practice, plus visit your in-laws, plus venture into the wilderness, plus wherever you want to go. Because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery, perfect for ordering new remote batteries or coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you. And then, you know, eats all your snacks that you have stored in the back of that pantry for movie night. How dare they? Plus, you can actually even save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun Maverick plus Mean Girls plus Jack Reacher plus so much more, because savings is what this whole Walmart Plus membership is all about anyways. Members save on gas plus free delivery plus Paramount plus so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions, $35 order minimum, Paramount Plus Essential Plan only, separate registration required. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes! That's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home, but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. If you're like me, you can't get enough John Mulaney. And that's good, because during the Netflix is a Joke Festival, John Mulaney is presenting a brand new show called Everybody's in LA. It's 6 live episodes created and starring John that will stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. This is going to be an unconventional show with very big special guests. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Netflix. Welcome back. By now, I'm sure you've noticed that every Monday we re-release old How Did This Get Made episodes back into our feed. This week's Matinee Monday was Blues Brothers 2000, and next week's will be Mortal Kombat. So keep on checking out those replays of classic episodes every Monday. All right, it is now time to welcome June and Jake to the show for a little Just Chat. John Astonish, play us in.
Jason and Paul, Just Chat. June and Paul, Just Chat. Tall John Shear, Just Chat. How did this get made? Last look, Just Chat.
Well, this is a first, because June, you don't normally join me for a last look.
And you know, Paul, I was thinking, like, I'm so glad our guest is coming on, because I never do this. Jason's always here with you.
Yes.
And I feel safe knowing that our special guest is arriving, because I know I wouldn't feel okay being on this show without him. So I feel so much better.
Well,
I don't know what goes on here. All I see in your calendar is you're recording Last Looks. I know Jason Mantzoukas is a part of it. So,
all right. Well, without any further ado, let's bring on our guest, Jake Johnson. Jake, welcome to Last Looks with Paul and June.
So glad you're here, Jake.
Well, I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad you're here, June. It's been a long time since I've seen either of your faces. It's been a long time.
It really has.
Too long.
It has been too long, and time has been so strange to keep track of, truly. Like, from the pandemic to the strikes, I'm like, time is melting before my very eyes.
I also think kids confuse time. Because a lot of nights you can't go out, and then you go, the first night you go out, it's been like 8 months, and you're like, what's up, everybody? Everybody else has been home most of their lives, yeah? Doing early bedtimes and homework, yeah?
Jake, Paul and I have tickets to go see Madonna on Thursday night, and we have found out that she goes on at 10 p.m.
Pass.
And I'm so fraught. Jake, I don't know if I can go.
You can't, June. You could start, and then at a certain point you have to go, I'm loving the show, I'm leaving. I'm not staying the whole time.
We really have to make a decision.
We got to talk about it. I want to find out, because my friend is going tonight. And I feel like LA makes you leave at a certain time. You have to get off stage at a certain time. So I wonder if she can pull that off. That 10 o'clock.
That's true of the Hollywood Bowl, but I don't know if that's true.
I thought Taylor Swift had to get off at 11:15 when she did the Eras Tour, but maybe that's because outdoors. I don't know.
I think Madonna is gonna pull her Bruce move, her Prince move, and show everybody that she can still rock until 1:45 a.m. And when everybody's cheering, she's going to bring her old ass out for one more.
Oh, you know it. I mean, this tour, from a vantage point, I haven't been fully engaged. It seems like it's a hot mess, but really fun. Like every night there's some sort of snafu. They're dragging her across the stage in a chair, chair falls.
Madonna's gotten older. And I'm not insulting Madonna.
No.
But Madonna has been playing this game at a high level since I was 7.
Yes. Madonna also took some time off and is now doing like a best. I mean, this is a best of tour. So she's trying to really, to just switch it off.
Cher kind of did this. I remember Cher had one last great march where she was dating a younger guy. She was in like sheer clothing. She was dancing her ass off in Vegas. There were magicians. I remember being like, Cher's show, I'm hearing it's good stuff. And then after that, she's like, enough's enough. This is getting out of control.
I call it. I'm calling it. Done.
You know what? It's a wild addiction to keep performing after a certain point. What are you chasing, girl? What's up on that stage, Madonna?
And by the way, if it's money,
it can't be.
I don't think it can be, but you never know. Like, I'm always shocked to find out the people who have what I perceive to be a honestly morally reprehensible amount of money. Agree. Okay.
Yeah.
Like those people are still after some more.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what's really wild about some of those people. Some people aren't as rich as you think. When I heard that Johnny Depp, this was long before the case, when Johnny Depp, I had heard something where someone said that he was going bankrupt. And I thought, how could Johnny Depp go bankrupt? And they said, well, he bought an island and he fully staffed it. You go, right, and he's not renting out. It's not like an investment.
No, that is just owning it. This is the problem.
That's just a bad decision.
Old Hollywood has created this weird disconnect because back then, you know, I remember hearing this story like, oh, the first season of Will and Grace, the ratings are so good. NBC bought everybody a Porsche.
Me too. I remember hearing that too. And after the pilot of Friends, they took them all on a jet to Vegas and gave them all 10 grand to gamble.
Wow. Those days are over, my friends.
Those days are over. You book a new show on NBC, you take a Greyhound to Reno and you gamble with your own money.
You send them your presents. Like, you take care of the executive. Those days are over.
Yes,
but I think some people got caught in the middle of it. Again, another person who's owning islands and castles, Nick Cage, who I did a movie with, talking with him, and he was talking about how he slimmed down, you know, sell a couple castles. Like, a couple, not all, just a couple.
Well, the LA that our generation moved to, town that I came out here for, is very different than the town that we all live in now. And there has been a massive adjustment.
Yes.
I really believed the town I came to. I would wear a beanie and a headshot. I'd be going like this. And then the next thing you know, there would be some executive that would give me a bucket of gold. I would have multiple mansions, and that's how it worked. And you're like, you've got to like constantly grind, be a business person. You got to work. You got to hustle. And you're like, this makes more sense. The other fantasy didn't make sense.
That's absolutely true. And what I'm realizing more and more is that everybody's losing out on jobs. Like, you never get to a point in this career where you're not upset you didn't get what another person got. Yeah. And knowing that kind of gave me a lot of relief. Like, when you see actual A-list movie stars like sad that someone else was chosen or they got that project or that book or whatever. And it's like, man, it never ends.
I'll tell you the other thing that's happened is the goal, at least for me, has seemed to really change.
Mm.
The old idea of like, but you know, even when you say like the part, I'm like, in what project?
Right.
Yeah,
I've got friends who have like I'm like, you're going to go do that with that cool person. That's the dream. And then because I'm a little rat, I go, what are they paying?
And they go, what are they paying and what are the hours?
And the hours are massive and the pay is scale. And I go, oh, so 3 months away from my kids to literally make a little bit of cash?
Yeah, or maybe this break even.
And then guess what? So then you get to go to a film festival and be like fifth away from center and be like, it was amazing being with my new brothers and sisters. And then, God forbid, the movie gets killed and everybody goes like, it was really the worst thing on planet Earth. You then have to go like, now everyone goes like, distance, distance. And you go like, I didn't spend 3 months in Bulgaria in a village like a fucking asshole. Why did I do that? I didn't even have any fun.
I didn't have any fun. And also, like, I always say to Paul, like, sometimes with the indie films and stuff, it feels like I pay good money to act. Pay good money.
And in June.
To bring my own wardrobe.
And the people watching it nowadays, 95 people total.
Yeah, that's it. We could be going, we could be flyering. We could be flyering and getting more people to be watching. I will say.
Anyway, I'm sure this is super relatable and everybody's nodding their head along.
But I will say this, that Jake, you directed this movie that I love, this Self-Reliance. Yeah, you've been making all these really interesting, like, indie films. Like, and I feel like you've had your hand at either like co-writing them, and this is the first time you directed though, right? The
Self-Reliance? I did a feature.
Yeah, and it's really great, and you should check it out. It's on Hulu. But that's at least rare. You can at least do that. Then you feel like, well,
You've done everything.
But as three people, and we've all known it, when you act in television, you're an actor for hire a lot, and we've all been the ones where there's a built-in project, and you just come in to be like the cashier.
Yeah.
Who, you know, has no story, but has to work a lot. And you realize that some directors are excellent. And you know right away, like, wow, you're really getting the most out of all of us. And then some directors are just terrible. And then you look at their IMDb and you're like, they don't even have credits. You know, not to be an asshole, but I'm 10 years older than you. I've got 10,000 more hours than you. Perhaps we can do this. And they go like, I hear you, but I got to trust my gut. And I'm like, your gut's 28 years old. Your gut doesn't know. You've never done it. It's not about a gut. It's about experience. So I wanted to just try everything out to see what felt the best.
Yeah.
Because it is a feeling out business now, and that it's this new world. It's like, who cares? You do it. If it recoups financially, you get to make more. If it doesn't, then try something else.
Or truthfully, just make something that
you like.
Like that you like, but doesn't have to be that expensive either. You don't have to do anything that, like, you know, that loses, like, you don't not loses, but like it could just be it make it easier to make it a success.
100%.
It's very hard right now to get people on board with stuff, you know. And I mean, oh man, you know, and I'm also excited, in addition to all the great stuff that you're doing, and you're in this Oscar nominated movie, which are the best movies. I love these Spider-Man movies, but I will say that, I love your podcast. You have a new podcast as well. This podcast, who is this guy that you're hosting with? Cause Gareth Reynolds.
Yeah.
So it's called We're Here to Help. Explain how you guys got hooked up in doing this together.
So Gareth Reynolds, when I moved to Los Angeles, I lived two blocks from the old Improv Olympic.
Mm-hmm.
This was pre-UCB coming to LA.
This is like you're living off of Hollywood Boulevard at that point.
Yes. I was on Selma and Hollywood.
I was on Fuller and
Fuller. I was on Fuller. Yeah,
Paula's
Fuller
too,
and Franklin.
Yeah. Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. Living right. Living right.
And by the way, Paul and I never experienced LA before UCB opened, so like I don't even know what that time was. We came out here when the theater opened.
Well, there was a whole group of the UCBers who came at one point.
Yeah.
But before you guys, before UCB came, It was a different
West,
vibe,
because because
you had the Groundlings, which everybody knew, but if you're someone like me who likes to play more grounded, and I don't like doing big characters, I was like, I don't know. And then the Improv Olympic was more just they had a bar there, so in Chicago it has a lot of respect. In one in LA, kind of was just a theater with a bar. So,
well, and the crazy thing about that was they cut themselves off at the knees because no one that was under 21 could go into Improv Olympic. So it really hurt their audience too.
But it was a party place.
Yes.
And for that, which it was really fun. And Gareth was one of the people at that theater.
Okay.
So Steve Berg, Gareth, there was a group I met in that community.
I love that.
Yeah. And they were really sweet. They all got me my first commercial agent. We all got our first theatrical together. We had formed like a little team, And Gareth does a show called The Dollop. And for about 8 years, he's been trying to get me to do podcasts with him.
Yeah.
But I couldn't quite wrap my head around him. And then he was really explaining how it is a direct-to-audience world, which is more exciting. And
yeah.
Doing press for a movie like Self-Reliance, I'm going out and I'm trying to connect to the audience, but there are like three PR people in the way at all times, or I need to go on somebody else's show or go to New York and go to, like, you know, Good Morning America and have 6 minutes to go like, wonderful to see you. So let me tell you this in 2 minutes.
Yes.
And he's like, or create your own, have your own base, and then they will go to see the movies, but you're directly talking.
And from your home.
From your home. And so we started doing it, and I was shocked how much fun it was.
Isn't it the most fun? I mean, podcasts built our home. We're made of podcasts over here.
But there's a similar thing with podcasting and like those shows, like UCB shows or Improv Olympic shows.
Totally,
like,
it's great.
You're here, you're having fun, you have this connection. There's something slightly disposable about it. It's like, hey, it's of the moment, and it's like you're just kind of capturing this conversation.
Well,
is what I
will
with.
Say though, yes. I think that people consume podcasts in a much different, or at least I do, where the interaction is so personal because you don't have a visual reference. Right. I mean, I don't know if you guys film yours and release them. We don't, and very intentionally, because it's more connected to not be able to see the person and to like literally have them in your ears and your brain and your mind.
Yeah, totally.
And it's just a different level of connection. I also think for women, it's like really powerful.
I will say though, the way that you tape it, that setup it's at HeadGum, right? That you guys tape it. It's built to look a little bit more like a. I like that.
So you have that. Okay, so I guess we are old school that way.
We only did audio for the first whatever month, and then a guy named Andrew Santino called me and said,
"Know him, love him."
And I didn't know, I did his podcast. He watched ours and he's like, just do this. And he's like, just see. So our visual, our YouTube, we do shitty numbers. It's kind of nothing. We haven't cracked it. We don't really know what it is. But most of our listeners still come through Spotify or Apple. But what's fun about going in person is you get a different level of anxiety before a taping. And it does feel like you're doing a show.
Right.
That's
cool.
Realize
like our energy is 10% higher. Because they'll go like, you guys ready? And then all of a sudden we put on like radio voices for no reason. We'll be like, all right, and we're in. There's no audience. But like, you're there. And there's been something. We're going to
listen.
I want to do a mix for us as we like eventually really land on what ours is.
Listen, I think we have been told we should do it. Right, Paul? I mean,
yes,
like,
but
I
we
think
do live shows. We do
we
only
do live shows.
And that's the same idea.
That's
it's the similar idea.
Yeah. Yes. But I also just think that to get you and me and Jason all together to do something like that in person on video would be difficult.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cap'n Crunch. Who said the kids get to have all the breakfast fun time? Break away from the ordinary with Cap'n Crunch and bring back the spirit of adventure to your mornings. Everyday life can be stressful, but a tasty bowl of Cap'n Crunch is an escape from morning monotony. Enjoy the bold flavors like original Cap'n Crunch, Crunch Berries, Oops All Berries, and Peanut Butter. Plus, the crunch you love is now available in cinnamon, and it is delicious, even in a sea of milk. The crunch of Cap'n Crunch is epic. Yes. My family is all in on the cinnamon Cap'n Crunch. I didn't think you could make it better, but they did. I love my Cap'n Crunch, and now I love sharing it with my kids. Join the crew for your next breakfast time crunch venture. Get Cap'n Crunch's new Cinnamon Crunch now at a retailer near you, and learn more at Cap'nCrunch.com. Here's something that we've known since the dawn of bread. Everything is better sliced. Let me explain. Slice a pineapple, you get a blast of fresh fruit. Slice some jeans, get some jorts. That's why the new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on 4 bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors, including pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Try the new Captain Morgan Sliced because sliced is better. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan Sliced, premium flavored malt beverage with natural flavor and certified color. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly, 21 plus. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better. And that is Eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter. I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's two in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry because I love these.
What I want to say, Paul, about something you said about the early days of the UCB or the IO type shows.
Yeah.
I've really connected with that in doing this. And it feels like I had a show called The Midwesterners with my buddy Oliver Raleigh in New York. And we were at UCB and we used to hand out flyers in Times Square.
That. Yes.
It was everything. And every single audience member mattered. Because you'd be like, all right, we're at Surf Reality. We got like 19 people. Dude, we got 19 people. And then you enter our business. And if you're lucky enough, you have a machine. And then you don't even know the numbers. And so there's become a disconnect between, at least for me personally, what I'm doing and the audience. I care more about like, what did the town think? And
you'll
go like, what's the buzz? And I'll go like, how's the Rotten Tomatoes numbers? I don't give a fuck about what the critics say per se, but like, what's the spin?
Yeah, we want to see.
What is all this bullshit? I have totally forgotten. What do people think of the work I'm trying to do?
Well, that's the tricky thing. But it's a tricky thing. But it's because you forget it. Like I still perform live a lot, and I love going home after a bad show. Where like not a bad show for myself, a bad show. I'm I didn't step up because I still want to feel that, like on some level. I want to feel good shows too. But like there are some moments where like,
you get your ass handed to you.
I can't just like wing it all. Like, you know, and like I'm not trying to, but it's like, but it is. It's like you can kind of these ups and downs. And I love these people who perform. I remember like one night, Will Ferrell came to UCB and he was like, hey, I just want to run this show I wrote. And it was the George Bush show he did off Broadway. But he didn't tell anyone. He just basically showed up. He said, can I take over your slot? We came out for our improv show. We said, hey, we normally do improv, but tonight we got some specials.
That's cool.
Here's Will Ferrell. And then he just did this show that he wrote like within two weeks with a handful of people there. And then like they turned it into the show. And I was like, oh, it's like, just love that he's like creating. And I've been watching like Adam Sandler work on this new Netflix special. And every time I see him like pop up at Largo, he's doing 15 minutes of brand new material. And it's like
shocking.
It's shocking. And it's like, oh, it's so fun. Like, but you see like, oh, it is fun to connect and because it's, we can get so far away from it sometimes. Cause it's like, I just want to go home. I just want to like hibernate because I've been working 12 hours. I've been in Bulgaria.
But you also forget sometimes I also think like with, so Self-Reliance was the first movie where I got to hear everything, essentially. So a lot of times I've either wrote or produced or acted, and then there are certain things they keep from actors because they treat us like baby kings and queens, so that there's certain stuff we don't hear. I thought the most interesting part of the process was when we like tested it in Burbank with strangers. We hired a company, and the audience described exactly what they thought the movie was. And I got to say, after a couple of reading those written things, I finally knew what my movie was. I knew what I wanted my movie to be as like an artist with my like scarf and beret on, where I'm like so cool, you know, and like never listen to the audience. You're the genius. They're just there. That like 90s mentality, I had that. But then when the audience tells you, you go, well, I didn't land that fucking plane. So they think it's this. And I'm like, man, I wish I could now go back and have like X amount of money and recut some stuff and like reshoot two scenes. Because they're telling me what the movie should be in these moments and what they loved about it. And that, to me, really woke me up in a way I didn't expect. Because I'd always heard of, like, Judd and those guys always testing their movies, and I never liked the idea of it. I didn't like the idea of a movie being by committee or being by an audience.
Yeah.
But in directing, I thought, like, I don't know. If I get the keys to the car again, if I do something, I definitely want to test it. Hear what people think and leave some budget to go back and tweak.
I will say that in my experience and things that I've directed and things, I've screened a lot of stuff when I can. Sometimes I do it at UCB. Sometimes I do it in different places.
Well, I did that. But the problem with that, but the problem with screening, because I did that, is I mostly screened it and it would be at like party over here and or like at a friend's.
Right.
And it'd be like super hip people in the business who knew.
No, yeah,
and
you
their
need
take
the...
was excellent.
Right.
And they were like, we see what you're going for. And then you put it in front of a crowd and they were like, we didn't see what you were going for, but here's what we thought.
It's so funny though, because like I'm remembering with Ass Backwards, when our movie got into Sundance, we sort of had to rush the post process to get into Sundance. And why indie movies need to be color corrected and mixed and everything to premiere, that's a whole other like conversation. Yes. But process was a bit rushed at the end. And, you know, there's so much buzz about our movie coming in. And then we screened it for like the film festival fucking nerds. And every screening, like one was worse than the last. Oh, people were walking out. And I was like, fucking hellish.
It hurt so bad.
Oh, it was literally like the darkest.
You never recover.
In some ways, I'm very grateful because I'm like, yeah. Oh, the worst professional experience of my life happened when I was 25.
Yeah,
you know, and so it's like behind, I'm like, try to hurt me. Please try to hurt me. Like I've already watched basically Harvey Weinstein and everyone walk out of our movie in tropes. So it was crazy. But the end of it, you know, they do that one public screening in Salt Lake City.
Right.
And Paul had left at that point, and I was like, I want to go home today. I cannot take another day. Yeah. Reviews were just vicious. Because it was a hard comedy. And I think also at that time, this is, you know, whenever it was, like, there was a feeling of like, you women are trying to make us laugh. Like, go fuck yourselves. People were angry.
Right.
Then we went to the public screening. Again, I tried to get out of it. I wanted to go home that day. And Casey was like, no, well, let's see our movie with like real people. And I was like, okay. We go and it killed.
Yeah, that's nice.
And it was like, it was so important. I was like, wow, these are not film festival goers. They are who are an ready audience. With their take. This is an audience of people who want to be entertained.
Everyone's got all these expectations, but what you want is people to leave the movie and go, I liked that.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
Period.
Yep.
I gave you 90 minutes of my time. I'm busy. You didn't let me down, fat boy. Stop. And you go, good.
Give me what I want from this experience. Yes. I want to be scared. I want to laugh. I want to cry. Whatever it is. Boom, 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 boom.
I kind of had a big realization doing this movie, and it's really what led me to the podcast and pushing the podcast and being excited about it. But you have like the ideas in your head of who you want to be as a creative and what that means. And then as I've been doing it, I've realized more with each project we're doing, it's like you're opening a restaurant. So if you're starting a podcast, it's a restaurant. If you're doing a movie, especially a TV show, you're opening a restaurant. If people don't want to eat at your restaurant, you're not a genius chef. And that doesn't mean in 10 years they'll realize that your hamburgers were delicious. No. You'll be closed down, you goober. People need to want to eat there now. Now, you can do it your own way. You can say like, I put the cheese before the marinara sauce. Like, ooh, funky. How's it taste, asshole? If it tastes good, great.
There's the flip side of that too, which is like, sometimes the food tastes good and no one goes to your restaurant. And you know what?
Yes, that's right. That happens too.
I will say that I read this book that Rick Rubin wrote just about the act of creation. And he was like, you have to be okay with whatever plan that you had for your work, that once it goes out into the world, it's theirs. And you can't tell them that they're wrong.
Yes.
And you can't show them what they saw differently. Right. It's like, it's theirs. And you have to just be comfortable. It's like if you've ever, like June and I have this situation, like you go back to a house that you grew up in, that house is sold, new people live there. They're not going to appreciate the detailing, the things that you had in your house. It's forever changed. And you have to be like that. That's what they did. They saw something else. And you just have to like embrace it. And I feel like it's a good lesson for like create without like, yeah, I created something I really liked and people thought it was this or people thought it was that. You know, it's like the fact that like David Fincher's so upset. He's like, Fight Club isn't supposed to be like for MAGA guys. Like, this isn't what I meant. I didn't want to do that.
Sorry, pal. It is.
There it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's done.
But going off of that, which was wild, was so I took my movie, went to South by Southwest with it, and I had a different experience, June, in that for the first three quarters, the audience was loving it. And I was like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, I was getting bigger laughs than I expected. I was with my brother. But my idea was the entire third act, the last like 20 minutes, I was going to send the audience down a real mind fuck. And if it were, because tonally, I like when things shift a lot.
Yeah.
So I thought, like, you're going to be involved in this like really weirdo comedy. Who the hell knows what's going on? And then you're going to get spiraled into darkness. And there was a change in the air in the theater. Mm-hmm. For the negative. And I was sitting yes. there and I was like, as it was happening, my brother looked at me because I was with my brother and he's like, it's good, man. And I was like, you're wrong. I missed. So I then had like a full on Hulu came in and bought it. They came in aggressive. We sold. Everybody was positive. I wouldn't do the celebratory dinners. I went back and I raised extra money from MRC. We then reshot. We did two extra days. I got to reopen the edit. Because yes, once you're done, it belongs to them. But what I really liked about that and what I like about the podcast, and we said it in the last episode, email in what you're not liking about our format.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a choose your own adventure world. And I don't view it as content. I view it more like an old Midwesterner show. If you guys think it's getting too much like this, let us know. It's not set in stone. There's no big studio. We don't work for some billionaire who gives us a ton of gold. Right. We're doing ads for fucking rocket money. Who cares? We're having fun.
Well, you can have fun. You can have fun right. and change things. And I feel like that's the other thing too, is like not getting caught up in anything. Like you could try new things. Sometimes yes. it will work. Sometimes it won't.
And then you do it and you go like this, the audience wasn't into this and neither were we. We never need to do it again. But we didn't take 10 meetings on it.
Yes.
We did an episode of it. It didn't work.
I didn't get on a Zoom about it.
I didn't hear nine opinions.
I didn't join call. I didn't join audio. You know, and, I didn't start video. It's such a relief.
It's just fun. It's fun yes. to be able to mess around. What we're doing right now, this whole thing. And by the way, you should be subscribing, liking, listening to We're Here to Help. And by the way, you're not just going to be listening to you guys give great advice. You may actually change people's lives. They might call because what I love about this idea that you do is you have no vested interest. When you are a friend and you go, hey, look, I have to ask you a question, X, Y, and Z. I know you. We have a relationship. It's like, but if a stranger is calling in, you have no, I can just be cavalier. That yes. sounds stupid. That's dumb. Yes. It's not going to work. See yes. you later. And it's like, so it's the purest form of advice. You're not couching it in anything.
You know what?
100% right.
I know a lot of people, a lot of women in my life this year announced as their New Year's resolution that they were no longer giving advice. Which I thought was interesting because sometimes I think there are people who give advice because they can't sit in someone else's pain. So you know what I'm talking about,
I can't sit in somebody else's
Paul.
Pain.
Right. Yeah. Like, I want to fix it.
I cannot sit.
I want to fix it.
Bit.
Yeah.
But it is very different, though, for someone to ask you for advice. That, to me, is the best feeling in the world. When someone says, texts and say, can I ask for your advice? Now, if they text and say, can I pick your brain? That's a no. But if they say, that's a no.
That feels like, June, you're getting mad at wording, no?
No, I'm not.
You don't like the way they phrased it.
Pick your brain.
Huh?
Pick your brain to me is like, I want at least a half an hour on the phone with you.
Right.
And I want to shoot the shit. I might even ask for this to be in person.
Ooh,
and
that's a pass.
That's going to be a pass.
Yeah, and, it's gotta be a pass.
And then it's like, I feel like we're talking around and you might not recognize my authority here. Ooh. You're asking directly for my advice.
Recognize my authority is shocking, and that Paul, you let that go, which was even more shocking.
Oh, I know, I'm here.
That's not a normal statement.
No,
can I pick your brain? Do you recognize my authority? No, lady, I was asking your advice on if I should take an acting job with a director you worked with.
Now, let me tell you, because we have Jake for a limited period of time here,
of course, and this is not, you know, obviously a podcast about me giving advice.
I just want to say that you pulled off. You pulled off one of the best things that I love so much. He's in your movie, but like Boban. You had Boban on your show, which is amazing. Yeah, you've had Julian Bell on your show. You've had Damon Wayans Jr. on your show. You had Zach Woods. You got a cavalcade of great guests. Josh Peck.
Would love to have you both.
I'd love to be asked.
Yeah, man. Love
asked
to do it.
To be asked. Okay, great.
Officially.
Well, there it is.
June, you're gonna run the show in a comedic way. Before you even ask the question, you've got a lot of nerve emailing into the show.
Well, Paul knows someone in our life that Paul and I both know really abused our time.
Although I did say after 30 minutes of that call, I said, I don't understand what you're asking me.
30 minutes.
Because I didn't understand. And then that helped him because he goes, I don't know what I am asking.
So I think it was. Figure it out and come back.
Come back.
But going to the show and advice and that as a perfect example, when we experiment and we say the show's an experiment, our first month would be like some heavy calls.
Really?
And they would be like, I'm thinking of going through a divorce. And I would go like, I hear you. And then we realized, no, these need to be prepped by our producer, Kevin.
Yes.
We want we want dumb ones that mean a lot to you. So our thing means you need to condense what it is, know what you're asking so that when I say, okay, so we got a setup. What's your question? Because if it's
vague,
they eat your time. It's boring for the audience. It's that guy calling you for 30 minutes. In the end, you go, what is it? I like this is very
and do you know some people, I don't know if Kevin uses this scale, but some people are energy vampires.
Sure.
And they'll take your energy. And it's not about what they want. It's about just they want your energy.
Yes.
Yeah. Just and then other people will fill you up. You know, I feel filled up from this conversation with you, Jake, and Paul, but that's not always the case, you know, and you got to be wary.
All right. So your assignment, if you're listening right now,
so
is
funny, June. Just the dramatic part. Everything is the act out.
I mean, that it is truly the
end
best
of
part.
Your line, it should be the end of an act of a, and that's true how I feel right now. And cut.
We're here to help. It's available wherever you get your podcast. Please make sure if you listen on Apple, you are following, you rate, you review, say what you like about it if you get into it and you know, help them out.
And you know what, also, Paul, I will say to our listeners, like I, you know, don't like most podcasts. I don't care for them. And I'm excited to hear this. The only podcasts I listen to usually are true crime. And I'm feeling like actually true crime is bringing my vibrations down.
Try our show, June, but
thank you.
I will. Don't try it episode one.
Okay.
Try the most recent and go the opposite.
I like that. This is what I recommend too. I recommend
you do too? Great.
Because my whole theory is this. Ultimately, if you're talking about television, if you're talking about podcast, it gets better.
Yes,
you don't want to. You don't need to start. Yeah, it's like pilots are simply like we did it. We completed this thing. Like let's go forward. I do that all the time. As a matter of fact, because I get caught up in it too. I've recut old episodes after because like if it's still there, why don't I just clean it up a little bit?
God bless you for doing that.
Good.
I mean,
you.
Oh well, How Did This Get Made is a constant work in progress. Unspooled is too. I like it because it's like, well, if it's gonna exist, it's gonna exist.
Make it better.
Hulu is where you can find Self-Reliance. And this is Jake. And go listen to him, watch him.
Great talking to you both.
We love
him. Watch him, listen to him, consume him in whatever way you can.
Thank you, Jake, for chatting with us. Go subscribe and listen to Jake's podcast. We're here to help wherever you get your podcasts. All right, it is finally time to announce our next movie. Next week, we'll be going from Sexy Flings to Cartoon G-Strings. That's right. We are keeping the sexy going as we watch the 2011 Danish animated adventure, Ronal the Barbarian. Instead of giving you a breakdown of the plot, I'm just going to read you the movie's tagline, which is babes, balls, and muscles in 3D for the whole family. Anyway, Rotten Tomatoes does not have any reviews for this film, so we turn to Letterboxd user Silver, who writes, I kept a bucket next to me the entire time while watching this, just in case I needed to throw up or hit myself with it. Perfect review. Let's listen to the trailer for Ronal the Barbarian.
Strength, courage, fearlessness. These traits were Kron's gifts to our people. But first and foremost, it is Kron's blood which makes us barbarians, the greatest warriors in all of Metalonia.
Can't you?
Come on.
Fucking barbarians, man.
Going out on a quest is more about having big balls rather than big muscles.
You can stream Ronal the Barbarian for free on YouTube, or you can rent it on Apple TV. I also encourage you to check out Hoopla and Canopy, which are digital media services offered by your local public library that allow you to consume movies, TV, audiobooks, ebooks, and comics for free. While we're talking about local public libraries, where are my librarians at? Librarians, please. Pre-order my book. You can do that too. And if you can't afford my book, well, then what you can do is you could pre-order my book at the library. You can request it. It's very easy to do. So librarians help people out, but you can go to your local public library to pre-order my book. All this stuff actually helps. And you know what? With that, I'll say adieu. That's right. Remember to rate and review the show. It helps. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, make sure you are following us. Visit us on social media at HDTGM. And a big thank you to our producers, Scott Sani, Molly Reynolds, Avril Halley, and our associate producer, Jess Cisneros, and as well as our engineers, Casey Holford and Rich Garcia. We will see you next week for Ronal the Barbarian.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.